Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tine.
And I'm Bonnie North. Ray Pfister joins us every few months in between jaunts to Napa Valley to chat about all things wine. Hi, Ray.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm very good, Bonnie. How are you?
I'm doing great. Last time we talked, you were about to go back out to Napa to witness the auction. Was that what was going on?
We were there for the barrel auction itself. We didn't go to auction day itself because they've cut back on the media for that. But
okay.
With the barrel auction, which was just totally incredible, a lot of people running around with all kinds of great wine. And boy, a lot of money being spent on those wines.
What was the highest amount spent for a barrel?
For a barrel lot, which is actually just 10 cases from that barrel, was $62,000.
Holy moly.
Yeah, I don't know what the math is for per bottle. But
that's a lot.
What's that, about $5,000 a bottle?
Something like that.
Yeah.
What was it? What kind of wine was it?
It was a Cabernet Sauvignon, which is pretty common. Cabernet's king in California. But there are a lot of people who buck the trend. There's a number of wineries that'll do Sauvignon Blanc. And there's a couple that do Pinot Noir, which is pretty brave when you're in Cabernet country. But that also shows how winemakers tend to swim upstream.
Well, talk a little bit, if you would, about Sauvignon Blanc, because it is summer, and it is kind of a really lovely wine to have in the summer. We've talked about rosés before. We, of course, talk about sparkling, one of our favorites. But what distinguishes Sauvignon Blanc?
Well, actually, one of the things I'm trying to promote is Sauvignon Blanc for breakfast.
Mix it in with your eggs or your oatmeal? Or
I don't know if I do that. But, you know, this idea, it's such a light, wonderful fruit. It's a great taste. It's very crispy. It's very sharp. And it's wonderful, really, in the morning. And the thing is, it's not that you're going to down a couple of glasses. Even a sip or two is just a nice way to start things off. It's a great summer wine. I think it's a great wine year-round. But there's so many different expressions of it. I mean, you have the New Zealand, very grassy kind of wines. You have the California, a bit more tropical. The French wines, which are a bit more earthy. There's so many variations. And I know that can be said about a lot of wines. But bottom line is, in summertime, a Sauvignon Blanc, man, you get some scallops or seafood with it, and you're pretty much in heaven.
Now, it's not a sparkling wine, right?
No, it's not. No.
Right.
It's a still wine.
Okay.
Yeah.
If somebody goes in to a store and wants to say, okay, I heard this conversation that we had and I want to try a Sauvignon Blanc. I've never tried it. Mm-hmm. What would you recommend? I mean, if a wine shop that you go into isn't offering tastes, mm-hmm. you know, what kinds of things would you steer people toward?
Sure. And these days, by the way, many wine shops do. It's amazing how many tastings are going on during a Tuesday in the afternoon at a wine shop. Don't be afraid. And don't be afraid to spit, by the way. If you're going to be driving somewhere and you're a little nervous, go ahead and take a swig, spit it out, move on. That's pretty much normal wine protocol. But as far as you know, what you're going to buy, a lot of people are motivated by price. And when I talk about Sauvignon Blancs that sell for $25, $30, they get a little nervous because that's a bit expensive for them. There are a lot of great $10 Sauvignon Blancs. If you go to, again, New Zealand, Australia, fabulous ones, and it's a great way to start. That's kind of your training wheels, if you will. Give it a try and then try different places. I'm a big fan of French Sauvignon Blanc because there's a bit more of an earthy taste to it. There's a winemaker in California. She makes a wine called Coquerel, and she also has her own label. And it's completely different than any Sauvignon Blanc I've ever had. Again, very earthy, much more feel of the terroir in the wine.
So, again, scallops, seafood, chicken?
Yeah, chicken. Anything, you know, that would be, again, you could
vegetarian.
Much, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can have it with pretty much anything you want. Best thing about it is, you know, out in the summertime, it's so refreshing. It just makes it, you know, it's like some people in a way, it's like how beer makes you feel on a summer day. It just tastes great going down. That first swig, it is summer. It's just beautiful.
And I do have to ask, how cold do you serve it? You mentioned crisp and wonderful. Do you serve it ice cold or do you actually do more room temperature?
I keep my Sauvignon Blanc in my refrigerator as opposed to my chiller.
Okay.
When I take it out, I give it probably about 2 or 3 minutes, you know, in the glass before I really drink it. So I like it cold. Some people have been known to do the dreaded put ice in it. That's okay. It's all right. You can do that. But, you know, I like it cold. And 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to be outdoors in the heat. So a nice little marble chiller. I have a little marble chiller I keep in the fridge. So it's nice and cold. It stays cold. It'll keep the wine cold for a little while. You know, just like a little receptacle.
So this is one of the ones you definitely want to have on the cooler side.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, you would not want to drink that at room temperature, no. You would lose all the real true zest in it, I think.
Interesting. Yeah, because I've heard so many things where people say, oh my gosh, you serve wine too cold in this country. And that may be true more for the reds and the rosés.
Yeah, for the rosés, I'd serve it about the same temperature. Again, nice and chilled. A lot of wine stores have these chilling devices that will do an instant chill for you. It's kind of a water swilling thing. It's hard to explain, but you stick it in there. It's water. It's ice cold. It runs around the bottle for, I think, about 5 minutes, and you can go take it to your picnic or your party right away. I keep my reds in a chiller. I believe I'm doing about 57 degrees, give or take. And I always take them out and give them air for an hour until they get pretty much down to room temperature when I'm ready to drink them. That's what I would advise on a red. And that's what most people prefer.
Okay. It's August, which means that we've just had the barrel auction a couple of months ago.
Right.
But harvest is coming.
Harvest is happening.
Is it happening now?
Right,
okay.
Right. They are taking some white grapes in California already. They're a few weeks ahead, again, like they were last year. Overall, from what I've heard, they've had a pretty good growing season, relatively dry. They've had a nice amount of rain, which has helped them in terms of the drought in California. Southern California is still suffering. Northern California is doing a little bit better. But it's already underway, and I think you're probably going to see some heavy fruit being picked towards the end of August. I'll be back out there. I head out on August 30th for about a week, so I'll get to kind of see the early starts of harvest.
Is there any indication yet about what kind of year it's going to be, or is it too soon to tell?
I think it's not too soon to tell, but I would say right now it's looking pretty good. My gut feeling from what I'm hearing is this is going to be closer to a 13, a harvest that a lot of winemakers are really going to like themselves. It's not quite the wine making itself, but it's going to take a little bit of work. Overall, it's been a good season. When it's early, it's always a little trickier, and it is early this year.
Why? What makes that a problem?
A problem just in terms of how much sunlight the grapes are getting. If they mature a little bit early, it's all about getting the proper amount of sugars. The pick is all about the sugar. You got to pick it at that right moment. And when it's time to pick, you are out the door. I don't care if you're writing your life story, if you're in the middle of a sandwich, you are picking. And, of course, a lot of people are picking in the middle of the night. So sugars are where it's all at.
Part of your life outside of talking with us about wine is that you also do audio.
I'm an audio engineer by trade. I own a commercial studio here in town. And it's interesting, I was just mentioning to you, we've had interns since we opened back in 1997. We've had about 40 of them. But it's interesting to mention, since we do this whole wine thing, that I now have an intern that is a cellar master in Sonoma. Cellar master basically is the guy who organizes everybody in the cellar, the jobs, what they need to do, keeping track of things. And he's also married to an enologist. And an enologist is the scientific end of winemaking. They're the person who analyzes the grapes, the juice, and all that. And she actually works for Chateau Maddalena, which is the well-known winery out in California. So it's kind of interesting that I've had an intern go into the wine business.
I was going to say, it's kind of nice. It's sort of a nice parallel because an audio intern who got into wine, probably thanks to you.
Well, no, his dad was my original partner in Life Between the Vines, and he always had a really good palate. In fact, both his dad and he loved to cook. They're both very good cooks. You want to be invited to their house when they cook. And Ian just, I told him, I said, one day you're going to be a chef or you're probably going to get in the wine business. I never dreamed he really would go into the wine business. And the question is, will he become a winemaker one day? I'm willing to bet he will.
Well, maybe when he's back here visiting, you'll have to bring him in next time.
We just got married. He was here a month ago. So
well,
it was really fun to see him.
Next time.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Ray, thank you. Have a great time out in California, and we will talk to you when you get back.
Good seeing you. Thanks.
Ray Pfister is our regular wine contributor, creator of the Life Between the Vines podcast, and owner of Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee's Fifth Ward.